This coming Thursday, October 16th, marks the 25th anniversary of the election of the Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, as the 264th Pope of the Catholic Church. To discuss Pope John Paul, I am pleased and honored to welcome as my guest this morning Bishop Michael Saltarelli, the Bishop of the Diocese of Wilmington. Good morning, Bishop.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on Catholic Forum with us this morning.
I'm very happy to be here with you.
Let's go back 25 years, if you will. Pope Paul VI had just died. Pope John Paul I was elected and shockingly died after only several weeks. Another election was held in Rome, and another shock. A Polish cardinal was elected pope. Where were you at that time in your ministry, and what were your feelings?
That's a very significant question. It's almost like, you know, where were you when the lights went out?
Right.
I know exactly where I was. I was in my car on my way to a wake service. I was a young pastor, my first pastorate in Bayonne, New Jersey, and one of my duties at the time was to certainly tend to the to the dead, and I was going to conduct the service. Mm-hmm. So I knew exactly where I was, and it was sometime in the afternoon. I remember that very vividly, and hearing the news over the radio, it was quite astounding. I guess if we want to, I could use the word shocked. But it wasn't a fearful kind of response. It was a let's wait and see now what happens.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because I think up to that time, there were 400 years of Italian popes, so this was quite a change for the Church.
And I think our Holy Father immediately allayed all fears, especially in Rome, especially in Italy, where the Vatican City has its confines geographically. When he came out on the balcony and spoke in Italian loudly, clearly, the response from the populace there was magnificent. Mm-hmm. And when I heard that, I said, everything's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about the first time you met the Holy Father.
It was the first ad limina visit that I made. I accompanied the then Archbishop McCarrick. I was his auxiliary, and he was making his annual five-year visit report to the Holy Father, and the Cardinal, now the Cardinal, then the Archbishop, took along his auxiliaries. I was one of the auxiliaries at the time, and we were presented to the Holy Father. That was kind of special, but more special was the luncheon we had next day. There were about just 12 of us bishops, and we had lunch with the Holy Father. And I was really privileged to sit immediately to his left.
Wow. Were you nervous?
I don't think I was nervous. I was just maybe in a state of, awe.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember too much what I ate. I do remember staring at the man, at his face, at his demeanor, at his gentleness. At his the eyes that were kind of just glistening and interested and probing, certainly probing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we talk about his astuteness. I remember my second ad limina visit. This is a time when I went as Bishop of Wilmington, and so I had my private time with him. It was a one-on-one with the Holy Father, and certainly at the time you are escorted into his office, and he's seated behind a desk, and on the desk there before him is a map of the United States, and then the huge inset of a map of this particular area, this geographical area that we call the Delmarva Peninsula. And he had it there before him, and he says, Wilmington. And I said, yes, Holy Father. And he noticed the proximity of Wilmington to Philadelphia, and he said, did we belong to the province of Philadelphia? And I reminded him that Wilmington at one time did, but now belongs to the province of Baltimore. And he found that fascinating. And as soon as he heard the word Baltimore, he remembered his visit to Baltimore, which happened at the same time that he had visited Newark, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. I got him off Baltimore immediately and reminded him of the Newark, New Jersey visit and his visit to Giant Stadium. Mm-hmm. And then immediately he remembered the rain in Giant Stadium, the constant steady downpour from early in the morning till way past the mass that he celebrated that evening in Giant Stadium. And he remembered that vividly because he just focused on that. And he reminded me that nobody moved during mm-hmm. the thunderstorm, during the claps of lightning, that people just remained. And he was impressed with that. Mm-hmm. So he was very, very sharp on that. And I thought that was a cute little vignette that's probably stored up in his memory. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he associated Giant Stadium with rain and with the faithfulness of the people, that was very, very powerful.
How has he changed over the years? The public has obviously seen his physical changes as he's aged and has developed certain ailments. But have you seen any changes in the Holy Father over the years?
Outside of the very obvious, mm-hmm. as you indicate, physical changes, I believe very, very strongly that he has not changed. His stance, his pronouncements, his teachings have been constant over these 25 years. So I've seen no change in those areas of concern.
Mm-hmm. In 1995, one of the Holy Father's visits to the U.S. included a stop in New York and also in Newark, New Jersey, where you were the auxiliary bishop at the time. And you were involved with preparing for his visit and so forth. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I was on the advance team that helped to prepare the way. There are all kinds of preparations that have to be made. Some are very, very complicated. Very, very complex.
This is like a year in advance, or more so, is it not?
Well, really, in a sense, 2 years in advance, uh-huh. because he was scheduled to arrive a year earlier, but his health prohibited him at the time. So we had to start all over again, and so in a sense, it was a two-year preparation for him, for his arrival. I was privileged at the time to be part of the advance team, and also the fact that I was rector of the cathedral at the time, the cathedral which was going to host him, it was my privilege to open the cathedral door to him and to welcome him into the cathedral. It was also my privilege to escort him in the cathedral residence and to make him comfortable while he awaited the President of the United States at the time, and his wife, Bill Clinton, and his wife, also were guests at the same time. So to house these two very, very powerful figures, and as far as the world is concerned, and to be their host, was kind of a privilege for me.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, that happened in October, and in the following month, I received word from the Holy Father that I was appointed to Wilmington. So there's a little connection there, I believe.
That was a job well done. You're going to Wilmington.
well, coming to Wilmington was reward indeed.
Why is Pope John Paul II so special? Why do people all over the world of just about every religion love and respect this man?
I truly believe because he is constant. He doesn't waver. He's strong, yet compassionate. He's kind, yet determined that the truth has to be proclaimed at all costs. And obviously it's taken a cost on him, but it has not certainly weakened his stature as far as world figures is concerned. There's no doubt about it. The world recognizes that this is someone to be reckoned with. Certainly the enemies of the church have found that out over the time. Certainly communism has found that to be the case, as well as any others who would certainly take issue with the truth, the gospel of the truth that he proclaims.
Would you say that's the reason so many young people are attracted to him, because of his, he doesn't waffle on things.
Exactly.
You know exactly where he stands.
Exactly. Exactly. I've been privileged to be present when the Holy Father has been involved with young people and on World Youth Days. And the response that his message gets from the youth is certainly clear. Young people today are not looking for compromising people. They're looking for the truth. Mm-hmm. They know the truth is difficult, but they want the truth. And it is they know that perhaps he's one of the only voices that dares to speak directly, authoritatively, and yet understandingly to the young people. That the response is electric all the time.
Mm. What has been Pope John Paul's impact on the church, would you say, over the last 25 years?
He certainly is an answer to prayer. He certainly the fulfillment of the promise that Jesus made to be with his church always. As in the most difficult of times, the church presents its strongest and holiest leaders, and we have such a strong and such a holy leader in the person of Pope John Paul II. It is providential. Again, it's a sign of Jesus keeping his promise. Then, especially during these days when there's crisis and chaos all around us, both within the church and outside of the church, that he remains that beacon, that constant, that steady beacon of truth, unabashedly, unashamedly, does he proclaim it. And I think people see that there is honesty, there is authority here, and that the world does recognize that.
Do you think the Holy Father will go down in history as a great pope?
There's no doubt in my mind. We already begin to hear, you know, the title "Great" being affixed to his name, Pope mm-hmm. John Paul II, the Great, a title which has been rarely bestowed upon any of our holy fathers. But there's no doubt about, in my mind, as I think there's no doubt in the mind of many, many people, not only Catholics, that they do see the greatness of this man, and to attach that word "great" to him would just be a natural response to the goodness and the greatness of him.
Mm-hmm. Are you planning to do anything special this Thursday when it's the Holy Father's 25th anniversary?
Certainly we will be asking all of our pastors to remember in a very special way. We remember Holy Father, of course, always, mm-hmm. but in a special way, this significant anniversary, and that we pray for his health, mm-hmm. that the Lord will keep him with us another 25 years, if it's his will.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's about the best gift we can give to our Holy Father, to remember him in prayer.
Very good. Thank you so much, Bishop Saltarelli, for spending some time with us this morning on Catholic Forum.
Thank you, Bob.